Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an inside and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 64 is once again being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So, we always talk about the weather. How's the weather?
Talk about it. It's actually been gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous. Either rainy and thunderstorms and lots of rain or absolutely beautiful. So, definitely my favorite time of year in Georgia is spring to summer.
Of course, yeah.
My least favorite time?
Winter or spring to summer.
Dog days of summer to where it's super, super hot.
Yeah.
And the often present ice storms that we have where everybody freaks out. So
I'm super sad about the warm days because my neighborhood has decided not to open our neighborhood pool.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of sad.
There's a plan, though. I think actually CDC has guidelines on how to do that. We talked about this, right? Because your dad was very concerned about going out on the lake mm-hmm. and the water and whatnot. So I'm very hopeful that within the next 2 to 4 weeks, most pools are going to open. So
I hope so.
We do not have a special friend or guest joining us this week. Graham DePinto, our extern, has departed and gone back to Wilmington, North Carolina.
Do you want to know something that I learned? I'm not a very big sports buff, but...
What'd you learn?
I learned that Michael Jordan is from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Wow, Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Only the most awesome basketball player, in my opinion, ever.
Did you know that that's where he was from?
No, I knew he went to UNC. I assumed he was from there,
mm-hmm.
But I did not know his hometown.
Yeah, for
sure.
Where
does he live now? Do you know? Any clue?
Chicago? I don't know. I'll be guessing. I have no idea.
Malibu would be my guess, but I have no idea. His series, I don't even remember the name of it. What is the series they're broadcasting all over the sports networks with?
I don't know.
Chronicling his life, but anyway, it's very interesting, very good series. But I'm kind of getting ready to get back to live sports, but I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon.
I am hopeful, but I have no idea. So, to be honest with you, I don't really miss seeing live sports on my television at home, but what I dislike most is seeing animated sports on my television at home.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Do tell.
So, because we don't have access to real sports, Lance literally on a daily basis is playing a baseball game on TV.
Okay.
So,
well, console. The network TV in our area, anyway, they're playing classical games, right? The 1978 World Series, and it's the, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
So it is kind of interesting. And if I sit down and take the time, like to sit there and kind of get into it, very, very good games. But initially, I'm like, I don't
really
care.
Well, why would you rewatch it, right? So, like, that's where everyone's at in the world. Like, I don't have time to rewatch a baseball game when there's real games on.
But in the normal world, but there's nothing on. So, I do think I can kind of appreciate some of these classical games. It's almost like when, I guess I'm going to say back in college, because that's when I remember doing it. We would record games, like the Texas A&M football games, and we'd go to the live game, would come home, and we'd watch it on TV. Totally different experience.
You'd watch it again?
Yes, we'd watch it that same night.
That's so weird.
But we would never, ever watch it again, right?
I thought the only reason guys did that is like to learn like the sport. Like I remember Lance used to watch tape or film or whatever you want to call it of his previous games, but only to learn like the mistakes that they made.
Newsflash, I did not play for the Texas A&M football team.
That I am very aware of.
but it was very entertaining. But where I was going with that whole story, or train of thought rather, was like graduations are taped, right, by grandparents and parents. Whoever goes back and watches those? The answer is your family does, actually.
We do for Christmas.
Because y'all
that's
have a Christmas tradition. Yeah, you shared that y'all either, I think it's Christmas Eve, right?
It's Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day. You watch a lot of your previous
Christmas Eve we watch our Christmas Day from years before. Yeah.
So.
But to your point, no, not a lot of people, right?
Lots of
tape. They're meant for memories, and so I think...
The same can be said for photos. So I'm thinking back like 8 to 10 years ago when we had, you know, I went and bought the $1,000 digital Canon big camera with all these the lenses and whatnot, and we take pictures and we upload and we download whatever we loaded. We had them on a computer, and then if our computer crashed, we had to put them on something, so we put them on disk. Well, I've not gone back to watch any of those discs ever.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we upload to the cloud. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an instant thing, so we have a backup. And I'm sure a lot of people use their photos and memories more than we do. But
like, if you wanted to, or let's say that your kids wanted to go back and look through things, they could. And so Rhonda and I, my sister, we've talked about this before. Like, we don't sometimes remember if we actually have a memory or if the memory is triggered because of picture.
Yeah,
I mean?
Totally agree. I remember looking at pictures when I was quite younger, like in my teens and, mm-hmm. and a little bit younger than that, and seeing me crawl around as a baby and do something. And I feel like I have that memory, but I know I don't remember crawling around and stealing records from the, you know, near the record player. But that's what I was told. And I saw pictures. And so that's what
so
I
you
did.
Have this memory, but most of it is because that you can relate to it with the photo. So I don't know. I think maybe if your family did pull out all those old discs and look at things, maybe they would just jog the memory.
Yeah.
So,
but back in the day, right, it was photo books. Maybe two, three, maybe you had 10.
Yeah.
But you would put them in, and you would. You would sit down, and that would be something to physically look at.
My mom was a crafter. We have, like, photo books with, like, what is it, lace? Lace edging.
She was a lace crafter.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, like, they have, like, cutouts of hearts on the front, and you'd slide a picture in. Yeah.
That's crazy. And so, you know, we're all over the place, and we're probably not going to talk very much about veterinary medicine today, which is fine, but you subscribe now to magazines.
Yes, as I've said.
Graham, while he was here, he does not have a paper textbook that I can tell. It's all digital. It's all on his phone. It's the here and now. It's on his iPad Pro.
Right. I don't have a calculator. Let me pull up my plums on my app.
Yeah, let me
app.
Pull up my drug calculator. Like, no, let's figure out, you know, it's 10 mg per kg, and this is what the dog weighs in pounds. How do you figure it out? So very, very interesting. And I guess today I heard we're not going to go deep into the George Floyd happenings in our area because, number one, you asked me not to, and I really don't think it's our place to kind of give our true opinion and judgment and whatnot because it's super, super complicated. But they interviewed on WSB Radio today. They had the interview of the two college students who were tased and a couple of days ago at a demonstration. And they had unnecessary use of force used against them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came on and had a press conference, and they had their attorneys and all these people on. Everybody had their agenda and their opinion. But the one thing I really heard was, without the technology that we have today, that would not have been captured. And so everybody on their phone has video and picture capability. And so we often use this in the practice. You know, you are on stage every day. The world is on stage every day.
Always,
So somebody's going to pull out their camera and video you, whether you know it or not, right? And so we're really capturing this. And I definitely think, kind of related back to the coronavirus, it wasn't a scare because we've lost over 100,000 people, but 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, what would have happened? That disease would have run its course. We would have still lost probably more people, but it would be kind of a natural disaster, natural disease process.
You're right, and we've talked about this a little bit, right? Like, media, if you will, all these things, these outlets, it's a lot of it is fear-based. And I think that's where even social media, right? Like, suddenly now someone in your neighborhood has coronavirus. You may not personally know anybody, but it's close to home now. So that fear starts to set in. And so to your point, without all that technology, how would you know these things? You wouldn't unless you personally knew somebody.
And then let's take, you know, a week, 7-8 days ago, pre the death of George Floyd, what was the most important thing and what was on everybody's minds? It was COVID-19.
Right.
now it's barely making the news.
Yeah.
Right? It's all about the protesting, the demonstrations, the riots, the looting. I went down to Buckhead, which is where I hosted our VMG meeting, mm-hmm. basically a year ago. I went down there a couple of days ago after the looting incident. It was just unbelievable, the destruction that happened down there. Windows were knocked out high and low. Mm-hmm. Just everything was destroyed in a certain area. And I just don't get the violence. I do get that people are frustrated and change does need to happen. And we all kind of do need to be united. Actually, Nike put out something today advertising like a 60-second video, basically saying don't ignore what's going on. You can't ignore it. You know, we're all part of the problem. We all need to be a part of the solution. We all need to. Their hashtag was something until we unite. Hashtag until, that's not right. Maybe we can look it up in a bit, but.
So
they're
Nike,
kind of controversial, Nike,
so
with some
say,
of their...
Nike's an interesting concept because the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, which truly was a protest for this very same thing.
Same movement.
They got ridiculed. I mean...
Nobody else stood up. So it'll be very interesting now to see. And so so that's probably the extent of our political comment. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree.
But it's just a big story, and it's so big, it's overwhelming, the coronavirus issues that we still are facing, I guess, every day, for sure. Before we get into our news stories, and we were going to have a really short episode, we were gonna be done in 8 or 9 minutes because we had nothing to talk about.
Well, I have something exciting to say.
Oh,
did you know that there was a baby beluga whale born at the Georgia Aquarium
recently, or last year,
like last week?
Wow.
Yeah,
I thought they didn't even have the beluga whales anymore.
Yeah, so they do have the belugas, and it's really kind of close to home, and it means a lot to me because I did like a behind the scenes thing with the beluga whales.
Yeah.
In which they don't do that anymore. They don't let you kind of get in the water in your wetsuit anymore, like my sister and I did. So, she and I were actually watching it, and so there was this huge celebration, and all the trainers and I guess all the people were kind of standing outside the pool area, and all you see are two tails kind of like swimming around, and then suddenly there's like a little baby.
Oh, wow.
It's like a 1-ton baby.
Like
but,
this live birth, yeah, and yeah. then we're existing. So.
But it was very cool. So, good for them. The belugas are a really cool sight to see at the Georgia Aquarium if you've never been.
So, I've not heard that they've announced that they're back open. Fernbank opened up yesterday for members.
Members only, yeah.
So, everything is kind of starting to open up. And again, it's going to be really interesting with the rioting and the protesting.
Mm-hmm.
People are gathering, which is not what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Middle America, we're seeing more cases. I'm just really going to keep a very close eye on the number of cases and the hotspots. So, we here at the clinic have been talking about transitioning back to the new normal. And we're going to kind of start by transitioning our staff, doctors first, and then technical and reception staff after that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of getting back to a more full-time schedule. And probably as we get towards the end of the month, we're going to somewhat transition people at least to the front porch, if not maybe into the lobby and the exam room. But we're kind of working on the precautions we're going to take. So that will be a really exciting upcoming news story, I'm sure. Word of the week.
Word of the week. Let's do it.
Word of the week. I wasn't going to do a word of the week because it was going to be a very short podcast, but this relates to a case.
Okay.
And the case was a little bitty something, kind of a poo fur kid.
Okay.
That I think was, and still is, 10 weeks old.
Okay.
Measures, 8 inches long by 5 inches tall and wide.
Mm-hmm.
Looked kind of like the little gremlin thing you were holding today.
Okay.
And
fluffy, white, big ears.
It got hit by a car, stepped on by something. It basically had head trauma.
Okay.
And so I worked on it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the word of the week was going to be Ramus.
Okay.
Ramus. Can you use that in a sentence?
I don't know how to use it in a sentence.
Do you know the definition?
I know it's bone structure. I know it has to do with like the. I can think of it like, you know how we look at like the tibia and you talk about like the crest of the tibia, but it's like the point of the bone or
Of
like the
something.
spine of the bone. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay, so
So like in your scapula, your shoulder blades, you actually have a spine, but like the ramus is like the point of the tip of the spine.
you're close, and you could be correct with that description. So the ramus, so I before we came on, I'm like, I'm gonna look it up in Dorland's Medical Dictionary,
Okay.
all the medical terms. And I finally find ramus. We've talked about my struggles with alphabet and dictionaries and things. And I turn the first page, I see ramus, and it's all this googly glob of words. I turn the next page, ramus, 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 ramus. There's 9 pages to define ramus.
So that's interesting. So like each bone then has a right. That's the only thing I can
You're
that I can
close, you're
describe.
close. So when I look at the first definition, ramus basically is a branch of another structure or an association of another structure. So definitely learn something, because the only time I recall ever hearing ramus was related to the mandible. So the mandibular ramus. The mandible is your lower jaw. The ramus is the vertical part of your jaw. The top part forms the TMJ joint, right? So, and then it comes down vertically, up and down, and then it turns horizontally to form the body of the mandible. And so the ramus is the up and down. The horizontal part of your mandibles is the body. And this little dog had a fracture just right kind of at that junction, right around its first molar. Actually, it was right through the first molar, so it was a little bit in front of the ramus. But to me, again, the weird thing is, like, there's 9 pages about all these vessels, the artery of this, the vein of that, the this of, it was just kind of
And so
crazy.
it's talking about the ramus of an article of a vessel, because I really thought a ramus had to do with bone structure only.
Yeah, so I'm handing you the book right now. So here's ramus on the left-hand side, and you can flip through, and it's, you can't even read it. There's so much going on. Synonym, antonym, definition. The ramus of the, to your point, the scapulary ramus, artery of the ramus. So backing up a little bit, I thought for sure when I asked you to use it in a sentence, you were going to say, "Boy, that guy sure was an ignoramus."
That's so funny. No,
So,
never.
and I'm not really sure how that kind of relates to things, but that's just a common phrase that we hear. So, all right, let's move on as you continue to read about Ramus.
So I'm not continuing to read, but I think I am right. Like, it's talking about all these different, like, prescapular,
Yes.
thorax,
I
like,
mean,
ulnae, ramus, like, all of the different bones that have a ramus.
bones and vessels and
Yeah.
everything. So it's just
So,
kind of an extension. So anyway,
cool.
that was very very educational for me.
If there's ever a what is it? Trivia question about like
Ramus.
what
Don't
word in
be
the
a
Dorland's
Ramus.
dictionary has the most pages of
I
definitions,
think we just found it. I
you
think we
would
stumbled
win.
upon it.
Yeah.
So that was
Cool.
kind of cool. Okay, so now let's just move into a couple of news stories, and
So
we'll.
I have a question about a story.
Okay.
You know how I told you about the beluga whale?
Yep.
I know that you're not much into Instagram, but you've been kind of doing TikTok. Have you seen the two-headed kitten recently that
Maybe.
was born?
I
It
think
was
I
like,
did.
it literally got Insta famous instantly, if you will. They called it Biscuits and Gravy. It was a kitten that was born with two faces, essentially. So one brain stem, but four eyes, two noses, two mouths, that kind of thing.
That, I don't know where you're going with the story, but that totally reminds me of like the Guinness Book of World Records, when they had all these really freaky things in, and the Siamese twins that were adjoined and lived to be 50 something years old. So
Well, my point in the story is that the cat died 3 days later, which is not, I guess,
yeah,
unexpected.
unexpected, yeah.
But the fact that, again, going back to the whole technology thing, that this cat was born in Oregon on a farm, you know, in random someplace, Oregon.
Somebody pulled their cell phone out.
Yeah. And so suddenly this cat became like a creature that everybody loved and adored instantly because of the internet and how it could travel so fast.
I mean, just
I mean, be covered on CNN. Like, that's crazy.
Just ask the Kardashians about how things spread. And
well,
yeah,
I mean, if I ever get the opportunity to talk to them, maybe I will.
Okay, maybe. Maybe that will happen. So one story out there this week is that scientists are testing dolphins for coronavirus. And I think actually whales and sea turtles, it reads, as well. And they're trying to figure out basically why their immune system resists pathogens such as coronavirus. And so looking at that and trying to kind of relate that back to humans.
So interesting. I mean, they obviously get sicknesses, right? Mm-hmm. They have to get sick and die at some point. So how do they know that their immune system is?
I think maybe related to these specific pathogens, but I don't know. Emory, we kind of learned today, they are putting out these plexiglass
shields,
shield systems, and they've about perfected the design as best they can, and they're going to share that with the world, kind of the blueprint to make your own. Not that you at home would make your own, but hospital systems might. We do have people in our veterinary industry that are making these plexiglass shields for us to use. The cost is anywhere between $600 to $1,000, like per unit. And a unit will only protect one or two people. So there's a lot. I was kind of happy that Emory just said, we figured it out, but we're not going to make them and sell them and make a profit. Yeah. But here's what you need to do.
Right. Here's the schematics. Go build it.
So I thought that was pretty cool. And they're definitely, I mean, Emory Healthcare Systems, if you have not heard of them, they are absolutely a leader in the human healthcare field. And they are right in our back, not our back pocket, in our what?
Backyard
in downtown Atlanta. So one of the more interesting stories from this whole news brief was, it reads, mobile veterinary clinic stolen from nonprofit. And so the shocking thing to me is you and I and other people have talked about getting a mobile veterinary unit, full service hospital on wheels, to be able to go out to people's houses instead of go into their house and provide health care and surgical procedures in the house, we would bring the pet out to a functional hospital. So I never ever thought about your hospital getting stolen.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy that it could just literally drive away.
Yeah, so big plus of having a brick and mortar hospital would be that somebody can't steal it. They can vandalize it still, but not steal it.
Yeah.
So, other stories, things you want to talk about?
So, the same AVMA brief is kind of where we get a lot of your information from. Do you remember talking about the pug in North Carolina that was tested positive for coronavirus when kind of all of this
And we
first
were wondering, like, what test did they use? Yeah. Was it really the same strain?
So, they still don't publish all of that information, but there's a little bit more. But basically what they're saying now is they don't think that that dog ever had coronavirus or COVID-19.
Shocker.
Yeah. So, again, the media is not going
to
push that out there and say, like, hey, it was all a scam. It was a joke. Not, maybe not a scam, but it was all unbased.
Never proven. Never. Yeah. Yes.
So, again, just kind of interesting. And coronavirus, like you said, it was not, it's not fake, but it certainly, all it took was something else to kind of take it off of the pedestal that it was being put on. And so some of the things that are being uncovered are not being shared to the public, I guess.
No, I shared with my friend Mark in Florida a few nights ago. We were talking about everything. And he kind of mentioned, you know, oh, well, you know, hopefully once the virus gets here. And I said, Mark, I don't want to be a negative naysayer, but I don't think there ever will be an effective coronavirus vaccine. There wasn't.
What do you mean once the virus gets here?
I'm
is
sorry.
It not in Florida where he's at?
I misspoke. He said he would feel much better once a vaccine was out there, and I said, I don't doubt that there will be one, but I don't think it's going to be effective. FIP, we've talked about that in cats, coronavirus. You cannot produce an effective vaccine because all those cats get exposed to it, and it's their body's response to the infection that gets them into trouble. Dogs, there was a coronavirus and still is for the GI form of corona that dogs get. We right. don't use that anymore. And so I'm a bit pessimistic. I don't think the vaccine's the answer, but I do think there's a lot to the treatment of how do you slow down the body's response to it? How do we prevent it? How do you decrease the likelihood of you getting exposed to coronavirus and kind of minimize that viral load? So that's about as deep as I want to get about corona at this point.
Sorry, I was trying to pull up another article here. Wow. So do you remember we talked about in New Jersey this time last year, maybe a lady that was mauled to death by her rescue yes. pit, Great Danes, and her husband kind of came out and said, like, I never really wanted the dog. I thought they were dangerous, that kind of thing. And then she was literally mauled to death.
Yeah.
I never followed that story because remember the husband was somewhat being implicated and they were looking into it. However, the reason I'm bringing it up is that there's a lady in Chicago, I'm pretty sure, who is allegedly said to be mauled to death by her French bulldog.
Huh.
So,
wow.
I mean, just think about that. That's it's terrifying that you can be mauled to death by a French bulldog, first of all. But that's just crazy. But the story reads that there was a 52-year-old lady who was found dead in her home just about 60 miles north of Chicago. And they're thinking that it was likely due to a vicious French bulldog that she had rescued.
That's crazy.
That's sad and terrifying and, yes, a little crazy because they're not very big dogs. And the fact that a, you know, let's call it a, even at 30 pounds at
yeah,
most.
Yeah, well, you don't know the whole story, obviously, and what, you know. Anyway, I'm going to leave that one alone.
I think it's kind of crazy. And I think we read a story here in Atlanta that there was a lady that was mauled by two pit bulls coming out of the woods in her neighborhood. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Not too long ago.
Yeah.
So, crazy.
Okay, before I let you sign us out, a couple of shout outs. This is might be a new segment of the show. Might not be. So, I want to say hey to Holly in Las Vegas.
Hey, Holly.
Cody in Wyoming, Bill in Montana, Melanie in Ropesville, Merrill in Johns Creek, and Graham, our previous extern, in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Everyone for listening, yeah.
All right. So check in next week, guys, as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram.
Wait, and thanks to Mama Sherry.
Mama Sherry. Check in next week as
she would
we discuss.
Have gotten mad had we not mentioned her, I feel like.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening. And then if you want to share it with anybody, please direct them to our website under the resources tab and they can listen online. It's actually, what is it? Transcribed? Is that what you call when it's like all typed out? So it's transcribed there as well. If you don't really want to listen to the whole half hour, you can kind of just skim through. But please definitely subscribe. And remember, without people...
You're so dramatic when you say this.
Well, because it's
okay. I'm gonna say bye to everyone. I want you to start over and then we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.